This is From Maine with Love, an Allagash Brewing podcast where we talk about beer, our community here in Maine, and things that generally make us happy. And I am very happy to be joined by Emily Wallace, our hospitality director.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. You know, I always do secret questions. So my secret question for you to start this one out, I didn't even write it down. No, that's how it works.
This isn't in the notes.
I know. What is the best song by Dave Matthews Band?
I didn't need notes. Number 41.
Number 41?
Yep.
Is that the name of the song?
Yep.
What is it?
Not spelled out, just, you know, number sign 41. Now,
so. Have you seen them a lot? Yeah. That's awesome. Do you have one on the list that you're coming up next?
Oh, no, I actually don't. I don't. They're coming to New Hampshire, I believe, this summer. So
there you go.
It's close enough.
Maybe. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully. You can come with me.
Maybe, yeah. You got to relive my high school days. So, Emily, according to TripAdvisor, our tasting room is the number one thing to do in Portland, Maine.
Yeah, which is amazing.
It's been that way for a little while.
Yep.
Like, do you know how long that's been?
Like
at least like 5 or 6 years,
I think a little over that. Wow. I've been at Allagash around, you know, a little over 8. And I think that happened in my earlier days here. But at the time we had tours.
Yeah.
And so there was like a really cool, not that there isn't now, but there was like this activity that people came to do at Allagash. So I think that helped us like land a spot on that list. And
totally.
Then, but still, there's, which I guess is why we're talking, there is still a lot to do on site that's newer and like reimagined from what it used to be. So it's cool that we've remained there.
Yeah, I feel like the interesting thing with the tours is like, I think we had at the time what you would expect of a typical brewery tour of like walk through the building, taste some beers. And I think now what we have is we have that in a different form, in a different space, but we also have, I think, things that I personally find more exciting and interesting of like, you may know beer, you may have taken a brewery tour, but now we have these sorts of things where it's like you can learn deeply about a style or you can do some other stuff. So it's like...
Yeah, and I think it's been a cool natural progression into what we're doing now. It wasn't like, you know, we stopped doing the production tours and then we were like, okay, what are we going to do next? We kind of took our favorite parts about those production tours and the Grand Cru tours and the deep dive tours. Yeah. We had a lot of different tours that we were offering in the production facility and we... kind of like morphed that into this new experience that we're offering or these experiences that we're offering at the cellar. So
like, I feel like there's, you know, beyond the beer and the tours, like when we got that ranking that we've maintained, you know, and we just got like a Traveler's Choice Award in 2023, which designates, what does it designate?
Like top 10% of destinations in the world.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's cool.
I know.
That's really cool. Yeah. we're hitting the wah, 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 button.
I know. Yeah. Every time I say that out loud, I'm like, is this correct? It's really cool. It's really an honor to be on that list. And I think the coolest thing is it's not like we've had, you know, one summer that it was like, this was a great summer. It's a compilation of the years and years and years of building the culture of the tasting room into what it is. So,
yeah. And like, that's, I guess, kind of where I was leaning with this is like, what do you think in your time here is that secret sauce that's allowed us to kind of maintain this vibe and energy that keeps attracting people?
I think it's authentic. I mean, we're on the site where Allagash White was born, and there's so much history here. And it's not uncommon for Rob Todd to be walking through the cellars and say hi to a group of people or, you know, to be standing and having a beer at the bar. But aside from that, I think people can just feel the genuine, like, excitement that the staff has to be here and to be talking about our beer and, like, excited to match you with a beer that you like or you're not a beer drinker. Try this. I think you'd like it. Or we have, you know, other options for you. So I think there's just this authenticity of what we're doing here and this, like, rich history and brand to back up the experience that guests have.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I always like it too is like whenever you stop by the tasting room, there's a good chance you're going to see a staff member there because
like outside of the department.
Yeah, yeah, outside of the department, they're just like, we're actually going to staff
the place. I hope people are working.
You just might find someone working at Allagash.
They might even pour a beer for you.
I was thinking more about a member of the engineering crew or production crew or like us in marketing, where it's like, you know, I personally really enjoy grabbing a beer there because there's always such interesting beers that like are often only available on tap there, and also just getting to hang out with like people who I work with and stuff like that outside of working hours.
Yeah, you know you're doing something right when like it's a place people actually want to be when they don't have to be there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, where they work. So maybe this might even be the same question, but I guess like, do you have a way to quantify our hospitality philosophy?
A general feeling of appreciation for people that come and visit us. Like,
that's cool.
In acknowledgement of the people that come.
Yeah.
People come from across the country to visit us. They've been drinking Allagash, you know, in Chicago or California for years.
Yeah.
And they're just so excited to be at the source. And I feel it every time I'm there and I hear things like that. I am like genuinely grateful that they came to visit. And I think that that's a feeling that we really try to impress upon the team or just remind people and that like it is really cool what we're doing, that we're representing this incredible brand. I think just appreciation and acknowledgement for the people that are coming in.
That's super nice. Yeah. There's also just the fact of like, I feel like it's a really interesting mix of people who come in too, because it seems as though you get kind of both sides of the spectrum, and more often than not, like you get the extremes of the people of like, I've known Allagash for 25 years and I love everything you do, and they know deeply our beer like list and everything. And then you have people who are just like, I saw this on TripAdvisor and
thank
I know
you
nothing
for saying
more.
That. Yeah, that's a really great point. And there's the locals who we also really appreciate in another way. Like maybe you didn't travel across the country, but you come here every Thursday and every Friday and you bring your friends and family in, you bring your dog.
Yeah.
There are different demographics that come in, and when we continue to see that, it doesn't really skew heavier in tourism in the summer, but we have our standbys and the people that are coming in as a thing to do with their family on their vacation.
Totally. So something I've always been impressed about is how sort of intentional we've made our welcoming of everyone and all different types of people. And like even dogs and little teeny baby people and, you know, everything like that. Like, I don't know. I wrote a little list of some things that I like. But like, do you want to list some of the ways that we kind of go out of our way to like make people feel welcome?
Yeah, I think that genuinely stems from like the diversity of our staff that's actually working front of house. We have people who are cat lovers. We have people that are super dog lovers. Yeah. And one person who comes into work and fills his pockets with milk bones to give out to dogs during the day.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. That happens on a regular basis. And then there's people who are parents, and like you start to see things from a different perspective where, you know, oh, we really need coloring books and crayons out where people can grab them. Or we need a step stool at the under the sink in the bathroom for kids to stand up on.
That's cool.
And so, I think that has stemmed. It's yes, part of it's very intentional, but it also comes from our team, just like looking at things from a different lens.
Because I think the one thing that also I really have appreciated is like the training that you've also equipped our front of house staff with, of like not only are they kind of guided to be helpful to people, to be making people feel comfortable and safe, but they're like equipped to do that from like trainings and stuff like that, of de-escalating situations. Because, you know, we serve alcohol. Alcohol can heighten certain people's emotions at times, and sometimes those aren't good emotions. So,
I regularly say to our staff that the most important thing to me is that they feel safe in their working environment. Nice, because if they feel safe and they're equipped to handle situations, it shows. They carry themselves with confidence. They're having fun. They're prepared to handle things that come up. So, you know, the more training we can do, which of course is like really supported by the whole brewery and the culture that we have, but active bystander intervention and de-escalation training. And then we decided, you know, we want guests to know that we have this training.
Right.
So we developed these posters, these awesome posters for our bathroom stalls that just say, you know, if you are dealing with a difficult situation that you want to be discreet about, just ask any staff that's wearing a leaf pin and we can help you, whether you need a taxi or you need us to like discreetly help you leave.
Yeah.
And that was something we did really to genuinely make our guests feel comfortable. And it has had this reaction that we didn't expect, which is just a lot of comments on how much people love the vibe of the space and how they feel when they're in there. And it just stemmed from this, you know, this one poster, but it really kind of sets the tone for the visit.
Do people mention the poster in the tasting room?
Mm-hmm.
Because they mention it on social media for sure. Like they...
Yeah, people will walk out of the bathrooms and say, that is awesome. Yeah. I love seeing that. Really thank cool. you for doing that. Yeah. And I hope that other people see it. I think we actually were inspired by another brewery. I wish I remembered which one, but we were inspired by another brewery, and I hope that's something that catches on. I know that have since seen it at Lamplighter in Boston.
Oh, cool.
So I think that maybe a lot of people saw the poster and then were like, we're gonna do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I just have to mention, we did have a dog birthday party.
Really?
Like recently, right?
We did.
They were old dogs, though. It was great.
Yeah, it was a 13-year-old dog. we didn't know they were coming in.
Yeah.
But they called ahead and said, can we have a birthday party at the tasting room? And
that's nice of them to call ahead, though.
Yeah, and they didn't disclose that it was a dog birthday, which I love. And they said, is it okay if, you know, we've got some dogs, too. Can the dogs be there? And Joe, who took the call, was like, of course, we love dogs and would love for you to celebrate here. So, yeah, we saw them. We looked outside last week or a couple weeks ago, and there's dogs wearing party hats, and there were, like, dog homemade sundaes on the ground, man, that they were eating, and they they had a blast, and they were here all day.
It sounds like that's amazing, and B, that sounds like the time I tried to book an Airbnb for my brother's bachelor party, and it was like, we have some friends coming in, it might be a couple guys, but like you're not trying to let them
exactly.
know that it's a bachelor party.
Exactly,
sort of
what
thing
it is. Definitely not a bachelor party, but maybe a bachelor party,
but there might be men there who
celebrating
are celebrating a bachelor. Yeah, no, that house turned out fine. That house was very intact.
You got your deposit back?
We got all of it back. Good. We were very respectful. It was a really nice house too. So to the actual crux of the matter itself, why most people visit us is the beer that we serve or the drinks that we serve. So like, how do you think about curating the list we have? Because we have a lot of beers to choose from. So I'm just like interested to know what the philosophy is there of getting the right mix.
Yeah. So we have a lot of data on what guests are buying while they're here. And then there's all the feedback, the anecdotal feedback of what can I only get here? Or what do you have that's like Allagash White? So we're hearing these things all day long. Before we had Hop Reach IPA, we were hearing, I'll have your IPA.
Yep.
So, you know, there's like that feedback of what people are actually asking for when you don't have it. And then there's the data of what sells. But curating the list week to week is really, Ryan is our assistant manager of the beer program. Yeah. And he has a really extensive background in working at beer bars in the DC area with a lot of beers on tap.
Sure.
And it's so doing exactly this, like really curating, looking at the style of like roasty and malty and fruity and spicy and barrel aged and sour. So he's very strategic about making sure that we have things that cover each of those categories and then making sure that we have the corresponding package to sell, because people will fall in love with the beer on draft and they want to take it with them, which is like, you know, ideal scenario for us. We really want them to take that, enjoy it, and share it with their friends and family. So there's a lot of planning that goes on, but we just want to have something for everyone.
What was the biggest surprise, like, beer release that, like, hit when you were like, I wasn't expecting that? Because I know in my mind which one that is, but...
Can you share first?
I'm thinking, honestly, Snow Report.
Oh, yeah.
Because I loved Snow Report so much. So it's, like, it's a Saison brewed with honey. It's a little bit higher ABV than your average Saison, and I personally love that beer, and it was just really gratifying to see, like, that beer crushed. Yeah. It, really cool.
Yeah, that... One didn't surprise me because it was released as a Fremaine with Love and crushed as a Fremaine with Love.
Huh.
So That wasn't super surprising, but that's the data I'm talking about that I have access to.
Yeah.
It crushed more than we expected it to.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It sold out really fast. I think probably Foliage Report this year caught us by surprise.
Really?
Or last year. Foliage Report was a favorite of customers. It had a really beautiful label on it, and we had a really cool display. But people tried that beer on draft and bought it to go, take it with them.
That beer is especially cool because it's double. Mm-hmm. So we have Allagash Double. It's a sort of traditional Belgian style ale that has both like roastiness, but also notes of like dried fruit, I guess you would say, like fig and
raisin.
Or even a little nuttiness maybe to it. But like, the other cool part that I love about that beer is that's a Rob Todd original recipe.
Yes.
Like, and, you know, you look at Allagash White, you look at how balanced and, like, tasty that beer is. It's just cool to see that, like, when Rob kind of put his mind to a recipe, like, he nailed it. Mm-hmm. Like, triple Rob Todd recipe.
Perfect beer.
Amazing beer.
Yep.
Double, and it's just cool to see that it transcends, like, necessarily branding. Like, just, like, Foliage Report is one of my more favorite brandings mm-hmm. of the beers because it just like fits a season. It feels so like appropriate for the time period.
Yes.
But like, it's a good beer.
It's a good beer. Yeah. It doesn't always hit even when you have the branding or sometimes the reverse of when you have a really great beer, but maybe the name is hard to say or the design is just not quite
like,
right.
Like Strictivus.
Oh,
you remember that beer?
I remember that beer. Strictivus.
I was out for 10 days when I had Strictivus.
Matt never took another vacation.
Yeah, that never, yeah. Yeah, no.
Must be the Strictivus.
We're all out with the Strictivus. That was like a really good sour, like peach beer or something like that. But I don't know. I don't remember what the origin story of that name was. Mm-mm. But I just remember that one when we came up with that. It was like, here we are.
Here we are.
You know?
There's a lot of beers out there and not a lot of names left.
We just need a name. Yeah. Thank goodness for the For Man With Love series.
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny. So you said a little bit ago, having something for everyone, mm-hmm. and that has expanded.
Mm-hmm.
So we've added some extra offerings that are more than beer. Can you just like tell me about like the success of these extra offerings?
Totally.
Or not success. Who knows? This doesn't need to be success. It can just be.
Luckily,
we put it out there.
They are successful. Yay. So it's even more fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. So we now have a dry cider, which we introduced early 2023.
Yeah.
And we're making it in-house, and it's delicious. It's unique. It's dry. It's more inclusive for people, you know, being a thing to do in Portland.
Yeah.
We don't just attract the beer lovers. We hope to attract everybody. So having something for people to drink that's not beer is really exciting for us. And we also now have a wild blueberry wine, which is a little bit newer. We have these new fancy wine glasses that we serve it in.
Oh, those wine glasses are sweet.
Yeah.
They're really nice.
It's a beautiful color.
Yeah.
And it's fun to like, once you pour one, people kind of start seeing like, oh, what is that? And they come up and ask what people are drinking and order one themselves. I think it's a little bit unexpected for us to be making these different products.
Yeah. I have a question about the cider specifically. Like, do people really still ask like, oh, is it dry? Or like, I hope it's not sweet. Is that still a thing?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know.
We only have one.
Right.
So it's not like between the two, which one is more dry or which one is sweeter. We'll give people a sip of anything before they order it. So, but I think in general, people are just excited to see that as an option.
Yeah, because I like that we're calling it out as dry because it really is like an aspect of that mm-hmm. cider's profile is that it's really nice and refreshing and kind of like finishes super clean.
Yeah, super crisp.
Yeah, it's really nice. And the other thing that I was thinking about is like just you mentioned like, you know, people coming as a group and certain people not being beer fans. Like that is such a consistent thing that we've found that's so mm-hmm. important is like – people coming, if it's a group of five, chances are two of those people like beer and three don't.
If that.
One. Yeah, maybe one is just like, we have to go there. And they're dragging everyone else along. But it's like I think we do really have beers that are interesting in a way that will turn someone who doesn't think they like beer just because they haven't experienced the breadth of the flavors. But also, like, it's just cool to have wine.
Yeah.
It's cool to have cider.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're spending less time convincing wine drinkers. Yeah. That, like, really, no, really, try this sour. I think you'll like it. And not to mention, we have a really long non-alcoholic beverage list of just some seltzers that, you know, people are really enjoying, lemonade for the kids. So got some extra options there.
So, I mean, that is very cool about, like, non-alcoholic options, and it's honestly, like, something we're thinking a lot about, mm-hmm. which is very important. So expect more on that front mm-hmm. soon.
Very soon.
And beyond that, people want to eat.
Yes, they do.
And I want to talk about Bite into Maine, but also I want to hear from your perspective. Like, we had a system previous to that of, like, it's a rotating, you know, food truck. And I don't want to, like, bash any food trucks, because I think all the food trucks that came were awesome. But yeah. I just think logistically it sounded really difficult, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yes. And I wasn't even scheduling them. And so just, you know, communicating with food trucks, it's usually like one owner or there's partners that are running a food truck. So, you know, they're in the truck working most of the day and then communicating at night. And so even just the communication was tricky. And we had really, really great food trucks, and it was really fun to have rotating options for staff as well as guests. Mm-hmm. But we formed this partnership with Bite into Maine quite a few years ago now, where they became like our permanent, I think it was Friday through Sunday, if not Thursday through Sunday food truck.
Yeah.
And they backed up this really cool Airstream that butted up next to our pergola.
Yeah.
And then it was just working so well. They're wonderful partners. The food is so good. The name kind of says it, Bite into Maine. Like, it's a perfect match for who we are, with a lot of visitors that are traveling from out of town. And they quickly became a permanent food vendor for us. And it's just been really awesome having them here. Their lobster roll is phenomenal.
Yeah. One of the best in Maine.
Yeah.
Awarded.
Yeah.
And I've always really liked that too, that, like, we have been able to offer kind of what we show as the idyllic taste of Maine mm-hmm. on, like, our website and our communications of, like, that Allagash white and of, like, fresh lobster roll. And you can come to the tasting room and, like, have that. I think it factors into this TripAdvisor experience of, like, kind of this is what you think about when you think about Maine. And when you come have it, it's like, oh, it's just as good as I imagined.
Yeah.
Which is really
what
exciting.
A perfect pairing.
Yeah.
Not to mention how dang good those two things are together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that back to the appreciation thing, people are coming here and they're spending time out of their vacation to come, you know, to the source and have an Allagash white, and what a perfect thing to pair with it. So
that's awesome. So I feel like the thing that I've noticed that has been really cool is the evolution of sort of our merch mm-hmm. and the merchandise and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, how has that evolved in recent years?
Yeah. I think, you know, back to Allagash having this, like, very well established brand and culture, established in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
And then along with our marketing and, like, using it outdoor imagery, we've really been able to play into that. And, like, even before I was involved in the tasting room, there's just been thoughtfully curated things that represent our company. Mm-hmm. And then in more recent years, I think just really applying the data that we have on our customers, like, we have a really unique customer base. There's a really wide age range that comes in, about 50% men and women split. Mm. And we try to have a little something for everybody, or what we think everybody would like.
Yeah.
Also relates to the beer selection. Like, what are people asking for? What are they asking for that we don't have? What are the top sellers? Let's try to do more of that.
Yeah.
There's, I think, trying to use local makers, things that are made in Maine, or at least made in the US, that have, like, this unique Allagash flair to it, has been working really well for us.
That's awesome. And your background, I mean, prior to Allagash, is in clothing.
Yes. Yes. A lot of retail. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
do you find yourself pulling from that in certain small ways?
Absolutely.
That's really cool.
I did kind of lean more into the merchandising realm of, displays and window displays and how to put product out, and how to put things on the shelves, and it's like my creative outlet. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Well, I mean, it's made a difference. Like, I feel like the one example, and I've seen us do it now more and more, which has been really cool, is like these conscious displays. Like, I think mm-hmm. the cool ship display was probably one of the smartest things I've seen us yes. do, because we took a beer that was very complicated and difficult to explain, and then kind of presented it in a way that was like, you learn, if you learn about one of these beers, now you understand all of them, and you actually mm-hmm. see this array of beers in a way that makes sense of like, oh, yes. this is that spontaneously fermented beer aged in bourbon barrels. This yep. is that same beer that's been aged on locally sourced raspberries. Like, you know,
yes.
It made a lot of sense.
You kind of understand the process behind it, and you know why the price point is where it is.
Yeah.
And the other thing we've learned is you can put things on a sign and explain them in words, but people really, it's kind of can be overwhelming if there's words everywhere.
Yes.
And
yes.
people like pictures. So we, above that display, kind of showed the process of like how these beers were made. There's a picture of the cool ship yeah. and there's a picture of someone picking fruit off of our trees in the orchard. So it says what it is without actually having to explain it in, on a sign.
That's so good. And also on the merch front, one thing I definitely wanted to mention, just because I love it and I think it's so cool, is that we have a deck of cards that
yes.
was actually designed by a member of our team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Steve-O, who is an artist
yeah.
and then worked on our packaging line, and he's the newest member of our hospitality yeah. team, yeah. Which we're so excited about.
That's super cool.
He just a very, very talented artist.
He greeted me the other day in the best way that I've ever been greeted, where I just was walking down the stairs and he was walking and he goes, "There he is." Just like,
that's my favorite.
You made me feel so special.
Yes. Yes. Well, we should do that in the tasting room. We should greet every guest with, "There he is."
Yeah. There they are.
There you are.
I mean, honestly, like, just that made me feel so welcome, where I was like, hell yeah.
I'm taking notes.
Really, I mean, Steve-O, he did it.
Steve-O could train our team on that greeting.
It just made me feel so good.
I love that you said that. I'm so glad we have somebody like that. I know he's that way, but that just makes you feel so welcome. I think
he's awesome.
That sums him up.
Yeah.
But aside from making you feel so seen.
Yes, thank you. Yes,
very seen. His art is incredible, and he designed these playing cards that have been one of our top selling items.
Really?
It's just, they're really unique. I mean, I don't think, if you surveyed people, I don't think anybody would say, "I need a new deck of playing cards," but it's one of those things you see and you can't get them anywhere else. And they're very uniquely Allagash branded.
And there are some, like, just like, because I was there while we were putting them together, there are some decisions we made of, like, even down to the different number cards. Like, you think of like the three of hearts. Each of those hearts is drawn. And you could have taken the heart and then just copy-pasted it as the hearts mm-hmm. and then done that for the four and the five. He literally drew every single thing on every mm-hmm. single card every time. Like, there was no, like, Photoshop trickery. So, like, even though it's just a number card, all of them are unique.
Notice that.
It feels good.
Yeah, we have some on display, and I hear that comment regularly. Like, oh, my gosh, all the hearts are different.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes a difference. Like, you know, in the moment, you're like, oh, this is kind of time-consuming. But mm-hmm. then you really feel it once you're actually using those cards.
Yeah.
So.
But what's so fun too is when you hit on something like that, we're just going to keep it for a long time. It's classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are great. And they're good cards too. They're like, what are they, bicycle or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. This one is interesting. I'm interested to hear what you say about it, because I don't really fully know. Is how have customer expectations changed in your time since you've been here?
Well, when I started, everything was free. So
no difference, really.
How long do we have?
Yeah.
So people came in and you get a free flight of beer.
Yeah.
And that was it. Mm-hmm. You got four tastes of beer and you didn't get an option. It was
the fifth tab.
Oh, yes. Okay. So if you knew about it,
yeah,
you knew to ask for the fifth tap, there was a fifth option. Mm-hmm. So you could get a fifth taste of something, but then that was it. And you had to leave. You couldn't get another flight. You couldn't get a full pour of something.
We chased you out.
We kicked you out and said, come back again tomorrow. but that was actually my first time. I visited Allagash as a customer with that experience. And it was really fun. It was a, like, I think it was a farm to face release day.
Whoa.
And
that would have been a big deal.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. It was so fun. And that was the day I was like, I want to work here.
That's cool.
And then aside from the free flights, we did free tours all day long. So you could book a tour, family friendly. You got this really cool behind the scenes look of the brewery. So how have guest expectations changed? Well, through then, there's been a lot of evolution of, okay, we can serve pints, but we have four beers on tap still.
Right.
And then I think we went to maybe we had six beers on tap. And then, I don't know. Now we have anywhere from 16 to plus wine and cider, plus can and bottle pours.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, a separate can bar with different options. So
that's right.
I think guests now expect to be able to taste a wide array of beers that you can only get at the tasting room, because that's what we just heard from people. Yeah. What can I only get here? Which is really interesting, because a lot of times they come and they've only had Allagash White before, but while they're at the brewery, what can I only get here that I can't buy elsewhere? So that's by far the number one question we're answering. And
that makes sense.
We have a lot of offerings for those people. We definitely get the IPA question, or the person that's like, I only like IPAs.
Right.
And we have beers for those people. We've had IPAs released within our Fremming with Love series.
Yep.
We have Hop Reach, of course. Yep. We have other beers that lean hoppier. So kind of once you start talking and you engage with those people, you can kind of extract like, okay, what do you also like?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe
sure.
You do like IPAs, but maybe there's other things that like, oh, you also...
What about them do you
what
like?
What about them do
yeah,
you like?
Yeah.
So I think we have such a variety that there's, even though we don't have a ton of IPAs on tap, we can find something that people really do enjoy and end up surprising them with it.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I guess the last thing that I just wanted to ask you is like, and you kind of answered it in various different ways, but I'm interested to ask it anyway. If there was one thing you'd want people to take away from a visit at Allagash, what would that be?
Well, I think I gave you a different answer earlier, or this answer to a different question earlier, which is, our team really wants people to just feel appreciated and acknowledged for coming to visit us. But I think more than that, or really what is behind that is we're a pretty big brewery on the list of top breweries in the United States. And I think people pull up and they're really surprised to see we're actually kind of smaller.
Yeah.
And they're just blown away, like, So the Allagash White that I can buy at a grocery store in California is made right there.
Yeah.
Like right there. And you can look out and see that brewer is actually brewing the beer that gets sent to California. So
yeah.
I think there's like it's humbling every day. And I just feel grateful to be a part of it. And I think that's really how most of the team feels. That's how Rob feels.
Yeah.
And so that definitely trickles down to everybody that's working in the tasting room. And I think we have such strong values here for our staff and for our company. And I hope that people leave their experience in the tasting room feeling that rather than, like I said about the signs on the wall, rather than reading it on a sign, but you feel it from the signs in the bathroom, or the way that our staff greeted you, or when you see our waste stations and that we really care about composting or diverting waste, you're seeing it in action rather than, you know, reading about what we care about. You're seeing it.
Yeah. 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 It's the like walk the walk rather than talk the talk, because you can write anything down, but it's like when you actually feel it while you're there, like that's a huge difference.
And it's really unique for us to have that. We have this really strong history, and all of these things were because Rob felt this way. He wanted to build a company that had these values. Mm-hmm. And so it's not manufactured. It's very genuine. So I really hope that people are picking up on that. And I feel a responsibility to make sure that's communicated during people's visit.
Yeah. And I don't know. This is just something that I always enjoy when I'm talking to you, Emily. It's like Emily was on the tour before I got hired. I was interviewing. It was like my final or second to last interview or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I took a tour, and Emily was the person following. Ben Kinney, who's actually our new New Hampshire sales rep, was the one leading it. And it was his last tour.
His last tour in the tasting room, yeah.
And then, I mean, Meg was at the bar, and like Meg is working at our HR department now. But it's just like, I feel like there's just so many of those people who have kind of grown with the company and grown into different positions and different roles. And it's just like, I don't know, that camaraderie is built there from all that stuff.
Absolutely. So, and I think that when you work in the tasting room, you get this really unique perspective of, I don't know, just how cool our product is and how impactful Allagash is in the community beyond the beer.
Yeah.
And I think that people have been able to kind of take that with them into these other roles that they've grown into.
Yeah. That's great. Well, that's all I had.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you for coming on. This was super fun to
Thanks
talk.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was honestly surprised. Like, I know we looked at the data, but it is cool to see how much the data is directing a lot of the sort of crucial decisions we're making, because it's just smart.
I'm going back on this. I really, there is the element of there's data and then there's innovation. And innovation really is driving most of it. But I think when it, you know, from our pilot system and our staff submitting ideas to the pilot system, but we're working on really marrying those more of using the data and the incoming innovation that we have that is really awesome and making sure that those two things line up.
Yeah, that's such a crucial, because it's funny, I wasn't even thinking that way, but that is such the way to think about it. It's like, oh, we're only making decisions based on what people want. And like,
thank you for saying
this thing. Yeah,
that's absolutely not, absolutely not true.
No, but from being in the company, I know that it's like, you know, if we find something that has organically bubbled up that happens to be a really good beer, then we can know that we should maybe put it to a bigger, like do a bigger brew of it and release it more widely or something. But it's not at the very heart of the process, is not necessarily guiding, oh, we have to do this style of beer or that thing.
No, absolutely not. And I think by the time it reaches me, because I'm not involved in the pilot team and the innovation process for a reason. It comes to me and then I see like these were all the beers that people on the pilot team are really excited about and that the people around the company tasted and think are quality, delicious beers.
Well, you can vote on them. Like,
yes,
you
I
have
do
a voice.
Yes,
you know?
I do. I can vote on them.
But your voice is equal to every single other person because it's blind.
Exactly.
And it's just a rating.
Exactly. And then I can weigh in on the data and what people are asking for. So great clarifying question.
That was good. That was good. I'm glad you brought it up. That. Totally. That's cool. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Brett.
All right. See you around.
See you around.
This has been an Allagash Brewing production. If you have something you'd like us to talk about or a question for our team, just send us an email at podcast@allagash.com. And as always, thanks for listening.